Okay, so we're reviewing today Perek Yud Gimel in Kehillim. All right, so let's try to review this quickly, as I always try to do, and every day it's, today is the day. but Rebbe Lehr, you said this yesterday. I know, but today is really the day. Okay, so Zisha. All right, so let's talk about the Klolim in this Perek, in Perek Yud Gimel. So although it's talked about Perek HaSayif, which is a sword, the point over here is that when you've got a kli that is a kli matechet, it's going to be much more chomor, even when it breaks, much more kal, I should say, really. In other words, it's very easy to get it to lose its tuma. The reason for that is that when you're talking about the kli eitz, or kli cheres, or kli etzem, and so on, over there, there's a likelihood that you will simply move it for a different use. And the klal over there of breakage is something that is usable. Not that we had that machlokas in certain cases in Masechet Shabbos. Does it have to be used for the same type of thing that it was me'in melachtan, or a usage in general? But when it comes to matechet, because of the ease with which it is repaired, people do not generally just take something that was made for one purpose. Well, it's not usable anymore. And why should I bother getting a new battery? I'll just use my garage door opener as a hammer. Obviously, that's not what is done, right? So because of that, we've got all kinds of dinim by kli matechet. What is considered to be the original purpose of that, even if it's broken, it still would be considered to be usable. Now, this opens up the beginning of the perek here with a lot of blades, all kinds of different blades, which you can remember from Asayev. So these are blades that can be used in multiple ways, either because they are joint blades, like types of scissors and trimmers and plant cutters and things like that, or because they're doubled-edged, so you can use one end or the other. And this would include, by the way, even something like a spear, because any spear is doubled-edged. I mean, you could still spear a guy with the one half of your arrowhead, right? So there, all of these things, even if they broke into two, or if they were slit down the middle, but you still got a blade, those are considered to be still roy for their original use, and it's not a problem, except if you hold like Reb Yossi. Reb Yossi says, well, theoretically that's true, but if it's not the part that is still connected to the handle, what good is it? So you say you have a spear. What are you going to do with just the spear head? So if it's the part of the spear tip that's attached to the handle, yes, then you would still be considered a usable cleat. But something like a tweezers, since a tweezer is not really used as a blade, it's more used as a pincher, there one side of it is not considered, according to the Chachomim, to be a cutting blade. According to Rabbi Yehuda, look, women use it to cut also, and if you press down on it hard, it's still considered to be a cutting blade. Okay, so that gives us a little bit of the variation. Now, the next Mishnah discusses all types of Swiss knife type of kalim, which means you've got like different parts that do different things. And it points out that even if one of the parts is broken, if the part that does a different thing is still usable, the kli remains tummy. So if you've got like a fork and a spoon on two sides of a thing, if you break off the spoon, you still have the fork and vice versa. And it gives many different examples of this general klal, that a type of thing that's got a double use, one of the cutest ones, is you've got an eraser and you've got a point, right? This, of course, was used for wax erasers and so on. So an eraser is a perfectly good thing. You walk into a shop and buy an eraser, but so is the point. So either one of them is still going to be keeping something as 100% tummy, what it is. And basically, the general rule is, the shear is, as long as it's capable of doing that original malacha, even though it's only one part of it, then that is certainly considered to be the same. Okay, the next Mishnah talks about the type of kalim that are reinforced. So we talk about, let's say we've got a hoe, and sometimes what we do is we put in a reinforced edge to the hoe in order to provide it with a very sharp piece, so that if you come across a thick root that you're unable to, you take the hoe, you'll bang, and that is called, it's charchur. So that's considered to still be tummy, because even if some of it breaks off, you still got that sharp edge on part of it, unless the rove. If the rove is gone, so then people will not use that hoe. But if the handle is broken in a way, the socket for the handle is broken, then everybody agrees with Rabbi Yossi, the previous Mishnah, you can't use a hoe for sure if it doesn't have a handle. Then we've got like double-use axes. So normally an axe has a sharp blade on one side, which it uses for cutting the wood. And then it's got this other sharp piece that it uses as a penetrative thing on the other. Again, if the socket breaks, forget it. But if you've got one or the other part, one or the other part is a usable tool. It may not be the axe that it used to be, but it's certainly a usable tool. Then we talked about other usable tools like this, particularly a tool that you can use for smashing people over the head. So suppose you've got a shovel. Now, these are very popular. You see them all the time in fireplaces where the shovel's got a little ball at the end of a long stick, and then the shovel is attached to one side of the ball, and the stick is sticking into the other side of the ball. So over there, since that ball, I don't know why they make them like that, but they're always like that. So it's weird. So the Mishnah talks about that because the ball is very useful for a hammer. At least, I mean, it could be used as a hammer. So here is a big machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim about whether something that was not initially intended to be on the other end, like the Swiss knife, but is still innate in the way that the original kli was made, is that enough to make it considered to be not broken? The Chachamim say it is not, and therefore it's tar if the scooper is broken off. The other case that we have is a fascinating case. Happens all the time. A saw breaks down in part of the saw. So some of the things are bent, some of the teeth of the saw are bent, or some of them are blunt. So the question is, what would be the shear of the remaining area that is still usable? You can go back and forth. How much is that minimum back and forth? So the shear over there is, again, the melo hasit. Remember, that's the we had that a number of times in Shabbos. It's the distance between an index and a middle finger. Okay, then there's a lot of lists over here of blades and metal tools that are used by carpenters, tilers, and so on and so forth. I mean, again, it's very clear what the overall klal would be, that if a cutting edge is gone, it's useless. If it's been split into two and still usable, it's useful, except for tools that aren't useful when they're split into two, and I leave that to your imagination to remember the various type of carpenter tools that you can't break into two and use. Now we move on to other kinds of not quite blades, but points. So we get into needles and different types of needles and pins. Okay, so we have the classic case, the sewing needle that's missing its eye, or it's missing its point. This is something we talked about in Shabbos also. So if you're going to be using that as a pin, and was oftentimes they would take like a broken needle, and they would use it for pinning up the cloth that you're working on or something, so then it still has a point, and because of that, it remains tummy. But this is only if you made it for that purpose. You could subsequently make it for that purpose. Because, again, remember, you could just be miyachid it for that purpose, and it'll be yorid de tuma san, but it will not maintain its tuma if you hadn't been using it for that before it broke. Now, there's other types of needles. There's the sack needles. They're much bigger. They're more like knitting needles, although they do have eyes in them. That remains tame because it still is good as a point. And as a point, if you lost the eye, what would you do with a point that size if you can't sew with it? It's very simple. It's a pen. Because remember, in those days, the pen simply meant something that would be able to be used in a wax tablet. It's perfect size for a wax tablet, so the point is still usable. But if the point's gone, there's nothing to use it for. Okay, how about if it is a pin in the first place? So then, obviously, if you set it aside to use for pinning up the cloth, then it's going to be tame. It doesn't need an eye, and it doesn't really need a very sharp point. And then we had the case that we've spoken about many times, again, also in Shabbos. If there was rust on a needle, there were two issues to take into consideration. Was a machlokas. Is the problem your ability to use it because it dirties the cloth that you use it on and is rusty because then you don't want to use it? Or is it simply because of the fact that the rust ruins the point? And whatever the pshat is, if it's ba'akev, sewing, then it's tahar. If not, it remains tamei. Okay, other examples of the same. We're talking about the main yesodas over here. Moving on to the next yesod in Perek of Hasayif would be kalim that do not have a base of kibul, and therefore if they're made out of anything but matechet, that's a problem. But in this case, although they do have matechet, they also have another part that's made out of wood, and wood cannot become tame if it's just stam without a base cable. It's pshute kli eitz. So then we have the general rule goes like this. If the wooden part is considered to be secondary to the metal part, and it's more of a enabler for the metal, so then the kli is tame. But if the metal part is enabler of the wooden part, so then the whole thing remains pshute kli eitz. And is tahar. So, okay, it's gonna, the Mishnah gives a lot of examples about this. The most powerful example is a key. So a key, we view the effective part of the key is the teeth of the key, and everything else is viewed as something that enables the key. So if you've got a key that's made out of metal, and into that metal you insert these more easily manageable wooden pieces so that you could keep changing the combination on your lock. So then if the wooden pieces are being held by metal, it's not considered to be a metal kli. It's a wooden kli. But if it's vice versa, if it's a wooden key, and then into the wooden key you put these little nails of different sizes that you're using to open the lock, then the whole thing is considered to be a metal kli. Move on from that. That's the general rule. It would be true about rings, whether the main ring is always viewed as the actual tabat. Pieces that are attached to the ring in terms of chotamot and so on are considered to be the secondary part. And therefore, even if they're metal, they're not considered to be a kli on its own. A lot of different cases like this. We can move in on to the next mission, which are other cases where we've got some metal and some wood, which is a little bit more complex than these cases. We talked about the type of thing which is a long wooden pole, and it has metal hooks on it that you're used to put water bottles up in the air to keep the water cool. So over there, we consider it to be the functional part, the metal hooks. Now, the same thing would be true if you've got like forks. Let's say you've got a big pitchfork. Or you've got a rake. The main kli is made initially, it was originally made as a wooden rake or a wooden pitchfork. The teeth break, and now you substitute for a wooden tooth, you substitute a metal tooth. So surprisingly, the Mishnah says, even a single metal tooth, because of its effectiveness, is considered to be now the main functionality of the kli, and because of this, the kli becomes a metal kli. And we have this beautiful, beautiful comment by Rabbi Yoshua, which is like really a very sharp comment. He says, look, I mean, I can't argue on something that the Chachomim have all decided, but I can tell you that if anybody asks me to explain it, I can only say it's nuts. I have no answer. Ainli Malashiv. I mean, how in the world do you turn a kli into a different kli by substituting one nail for the tooth of a rake? It doesn't make any sense to me, but what can you do? Okay, so that was his objection. And then we move on to the last Mishnah. The last Mishnah talks about the same basic idea, which is, except this time it talks about it in terms of combs. Now, there's two very different types of combs. We're talking about combs over here, not hair combs, but fiber combs. So these are combs that are used to combing out your wool or combing out your linen. Wool is much finer, and the teeth of the comb really do, you don't have much to do with it. So the Mishnah clarifies the difference between them. If you've got a pishtan comb, so then the teeth remain tamei, because over there, first of all, if you've got even two teeth in there, it's usable, even just with two teeth. And the truth is the teeth themselves that break out are each thick enough to be used for writing, the same way that the Sakain thing was. They're thick things, and you can use them for writing on your wax tablet over here. However, the wool comb teeth, you've seen these, right? It's like a block of wood with a lot of teeth sticking out of them. I don't know where I've seen them very often. I just can't remember why people would buy them today. But anyway, so over there, if every other tooth of a wool comb was removed, it's tahar because it needs to be close together in order to do anything. If you had three, one up to the other, close to each other, so then it would be tameh, unless the outside one was one of them. Then it doesn't count. And the other problem is that if you've got the teeth itself that fell out of the wool comb, then the question is, what good would it do? So you could use it, but only if you were metaken it for this purpose. You could use it, let's say, to be a poker in a candle to try to clean out a candle. You could use it as a pin. Then, ein hachinami, then it would be tameh.